What is the Bible about? If you were to ask that question of a dozen people, you'd probably get a dozen different answers. But if you were to ask the Apostle Peter, this would be his answer. To Jesus Christ, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's found in Acts 10, verse 43. And from that passage and others like it, we learn that the entire Bible is centered on Jesus Christ and his gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We invite you to join us this afternoon as we consider God's Word and what it reveals about Jesus Christ and his wonderful good news. Here's Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Hello and welcome to today's program. We're glad that you've joined us. I'm here with Pastor Chris Gordon from the Linden United Reformed Church, and of course I'm Wes Bradenhoff from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're always glad that we can bring these programs to you, programs in which we discuss important teachings of the Christian faith, where we focus on what the Bible has to say. And on today's program, we want to consider again with you the subject of preaching. We think that this is so crucially important today, so crucially important for the ministry of the church. Without preaching, churches are simply not going to be healthy and they're not going to be strong. So to begin with today, we want to talk about the definition of preaching. And maybe, Chris, maybe you can go back to that.
Yeah, well, Wes, very simply, it's the authoritative proclamation of God's Word, the proclamation that includes both the law and the gospel, where sinners are confronted with their lives, their sin, how they are fallen, and their need for a Savior, where the Lord Jesus Christ is heralded, the good news, as the gospel is called. The preaching is that authoritative verbal proclamation of the truth given to us in the deposit handed to us in the Word of God, the Word of God.
And we want to underline that word verbal, right? Because today there are so many people who think that, you know, having a church service and having a clown come to the front of the church and do a pantomime, that is somehow preaching. That is not apostolic preaching. The apostles didn't dress up as clowns and go to the front of a group of people and call that preaching. It's not. It might be entertainment. It might be entertaining, and it might even be somewhat edifying to some degree, but it is not biblical preaching, nor are things like drama, nor is, you know, showing a film and saying that this is going to be our sermon for today. Preaching is verbal proclamation. We're going to have to insist on that all the more today in today's context.
I wonder if we even recognize it anymore, though, Wes. You know, we've been so desensitized to everything that's happened, that the downgrade, you know, Spurgeon, his day, talked about the downgrade controversy,
right,
where he lamented so strongly that anymore the word is not even being preached, and how what people are accepting as tolerable preaching of the word is not even what the Bible presents to us preaching should be. And so I wonder anymore if people would hear it and would understand that that is true preaching and this is not. Can they even make that separation?
Well, we've lamented before on this program the fact that there are churches out there, and maybe even some of our listeners are going to such a church, where the Bible is not even opened at all, not even when it comes time for the sermon. The preacher chooses something other than the Bible as his text. And I've mentioned before the example of a preacher, and this is a Reformed preacher, he's Reformed in name, in Calgary, Alberta, who's used The Simpsons as his text for his sermons. And recently, I heard that he's, instead of, I saw on the internet actually going to his blog, that now he uses Coldplay, the rock band Coldplay, and he uses their songs as the text for his sermon. And he asked the congregation to comment on a Coldplay song, Viva La Vida, asking the congregation to consider with him what the Holy Spirit might be saying to God's people through Coldplay's Viva La Vida. Folks, that's not preaching. The Bible is to be our text, not Coldplay, not The Simpsons, not any other thing. It's the Bible that where God reveals everything that we need to know for our salvation. It's in the Bible that we find the gospel revealed.
Right. And you know, this is just a focus throughout, Wes. I think of something in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, where he says, "Since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again." How are we born again? "Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." And then he goes on to say, "Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. This verbal proclamation that issues forth through the powerful Spirit who applies this, bringing forth the new birth in people's hearts.
Yeah.
It's the whole picture of Ezekiel through the proclamation when the Lord said, see these dry bones, I want you to prophesy to these dry bones. And as soon as he prophesied, the flesh came upon them, life came in them, and they stood up with life before the Lord because through that method, God had chosen to give life.
Yeah. And 2 Timothy 4 is also worth considering. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. What is the word? What is he talking about there? He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the written revelation of God. And he goes on, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And then verse 3, and I think this is crucially important for today. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
You know, that's just a striking passage, because essentially what he said, the time's going to come where they're not going to do this.
Right.
They're going to do everything else but this. And how? What a sad testimony. They're going to want fables. They're going to want their ears tickled with things they like and make them feel good about themselves. You know, I just saw the other day, it's been striking to me that sermon texts and titles, people are using hero action figures to sort of get the truth out. That is not preaching.
Right.
That is not preaching. That is tickling people's ears. I think of something, Wes, that Titus just begins with. Paul's letter, epistle here to Titus, he says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Notice how the whole method, we talked about this last time, the whole method and message has been committed to us because this is what God has chosen.
Right. And when he speaks about preaching there, the word that's used there in the Greek is clearly something that's verbal. It's something that is the using of words. It's a monological, authoritative proclamation of what God has to say to his people. And I think, again, we have to insist on that.
That's right. So look, Wes, we're really wrestling through then in this whole discussion here of preaching, what is the content, how preaching is to be done. That's really the great concern, because today it's just thought that preaching is to be given to make me a better me.
Mm-hmm.
Is to give us just instruction for how to live, because everyone seems to be concerned about this application element to preaching.
Yeah. You don't need the Bible for that, right? You could bring Dr. Phil in as a guest speaker to your church, or Oprah, or whoever else. Right, I remember a little while ago hearing about Mark Driscoll, popular preacher in the Seattle area, and he was lamenting the fact, he wasn't just lamenting, he in his own characteristic style, he said when he heard on the radio that a local Christian church was going to invite a Jewish rabbi to explain the Old Testament, he said he gripped the steering wheel so hard, the airbag just about deployed. Right? He blew a gasket, because a Jewish rabbi, and this is not a messianic Jew or anything like that, but just a regular Jew was going to come to a Christian church and explain the Old Testament to them. You know, people have to understand the Bible in connection with Jesus Christ. And so, like I said before, it's not enough just that the Bible is preached, but the Bible also has to be preached properly. It has to be preached in its connection with Jesus Christ.
And I think what's lost today, Wes, is just the whole offense of the cross. We're so afraid to be offensive. We're so afraid to drive away. You know, if it just works to get them in here, how much harm could it be? So we can tailor the message just for hopefully results. You know, I just heard a minister the other day say, you know, what people are doing is they can grow their churches, but all they're producing is vines that are going to be thrown into the fire.
Mm.
They're not connected. They're not connected to the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dangerous place to be. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1? He said, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. We really need to meditate upon that as gospel preachers. This is foolishness to the world.
Yeah. Well, somebody, you know, he talks about the foolishness of preaching Christ crucified. The cross is offensive to people, right? Today, the cross is a fashion item. People have kind of domesticated the cross, you could say. But if we want to understand it in a contemporary way, you could say it's like glorying in the electric chair. It's like people wearing electric chairs and on their neck and saying, you know, I glory in the electric chair. People would say, you're a fool. You're a nut job. Mm-hmm. But yet, that's what Paul preached. That's what we hold to, Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
That's right. The early church understood very well the cross was a cruel instrument of torment. And Paul is saying, this is what I preach.
Yeah, it was a humiliation for anybody, a Jew or a Gentile, to be placed on a cross.
Well, that's right. And it comes, I mean, can you imagine how unfathomable it must have been, Wes, in the ancient world? What did they do to their gods in the ancient world? They made beautiful pillars of stone and of their gods. I mean, all the Caesars were, you go into Rome today, you still see these things. They worship them as gods. But to proclaim a message, Jesus Christ, the true and living God, was crucified.
Yeah.
That was such foolishness to the ancient world. Paul had to explain, yeah, it may be foolishness, but you got to understand this is, as foolishness as it is to the world, is God's chosen power.
And I think to conclude today, I think it's worthwhile to read some words that could just as well have been written yesterday by the Apostle Paul from Galatians 1. Verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
And Wes, the amazing thing about that is the Corinthian church, Paul says, tolerated it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we sure hope that you don't tolerate it, and we sure hope that you are in a church where the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is faithfully being preached. And it's our hope that this program has been an encouragement to you to that end. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to bless you, and may God watch over you and keep you.
Thank you for joining us today on Gospel Talk. If you've been appreciating what you've been hearing on this program and you're not already, we'd like to encourage you to find a Christ-centered church with biblical preaching and teaching. For example, you could go online to www.canrc.org to see if there's such a church in your neighborhood. That website again, www.canrc.org. If there isn't such a church nearby and you'd like to be involved with starting one, we invite you to contact us. You can write us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can also email us, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's Gospel Talk, all one word, at hotmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon on Gospel Talk. May Christ's gospel continue to lavishly bless you.